Begin the current daf in the sechda above Vasa Dav Tzadi Beis. Begin on the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues and begins the new parak, the sixth parak in the sechda above Vasa, parak Amercha Peris, which continues the theme of the previous two parakim, Amercha Sabayis, Amercha Sasvina, which the theme that we had seen was when someone sells something unspecified, what is included in the sale. A similar theme is brought in this parak in the opening Mishnah over here. The Mishnah begins, HaMoicha Peris L'Chaver, if someone sells produce to his friend, again, unspecified, doesn't say what's he selling, let's say, the grain for. Is it for planting, which one could use it as a seed, or is it for consumption, which you can use the seed to roast it, you can grind it down and turn it into flour. What its utility was, that he didn't say, he just sold him the grain. V'zaron, and then the consumer goes and plants it, V'loy Tzamchu, and it doesn't sprout. Now that's what the Mishnah tells us, that we don't have to tell you the halacha, we're going to tell you by produce, let's say by grain, where there you could say that it was sold for planting, or you could say it was sold for consumption. Now, therefore, there with the seller could tell the consumer, yeah, I know you planted it and nothing happened, and it wasn't a quality for planting, because when I sold you the grain, I sold it to you for consumption purposes, and therefore there's no mekach tois. Well, if it doesn't work for what the sale was, then that's called an invalid acquisition. It says, you planted it? That's not what I sold it for you. No, these are not planting variety. Nothing's going to happen, but it's not a mekach tois. I sold you for consumption. Now, that's what the Mishnah continues and says, that the halacha that we're telling you is not only by produce, meaning by grain, but filazera pishtan. But actually, says the Mishnah, this halacha would apply even by flax seed, where generally the majority of the flax that's purchased in the world is bought for planting purposes, to plant those seeds. Now, however, that's what, in spite of that, says the Mishnah, since there are those who do buy it for consumption purposes, as the Gemara says in the Darm, Daf Mem Tesem and Aleph, that the lulava, the kisna, the heart of the flax is good for this kutach dip. So therefore, says the Mishnah, even in such a case, ein chayv b'achriyusan, the seller would not be liable for this flaw that it has, that it was planted and nothing grew from it. The reason for this is because the seller could tell him, well, I sold you for consumption purposes. Now the reason for this halach is because regarding monetary law, which is what this is, it's commerce, we don't go after the laws of majorities. As the Gemara explained, that goes like Shmuel, who holds that we don't go after Rav by mamonis. Now, as Rashbam points out, however, this is specifically only by flaxseed, because that's something at least for some people, and when they buy it, and in general, it's valid for consumption. But that's what the Mishnah continues and says, but regarding garden seeds, for example, like the seeds of cabbage or kofflet, which are not generally eaten at all, that's what the Mishnah continues, there, then the seller would be liable, because the only utility is for planting, and it didn't grow. So that's what... Because Reb Shimon Gamliel says, that's how the Gemara explains it, it's actually a continuation of the first part of the Mishnah, that Zeroy Negina She'en Nechal, however, garden seeds that are not consumed, there Chai Bechayus, and there he is going to be liable, because there it's a Mekach Tais. Because that would be like a situation when someone tells him, I'm selling you olive wood, and it turns out he sold him sycamore wood, or he's saying, I'm selling you wine, and it turns out that it's vinegar, where it's a mekech tais, for sure in this situation, because at least by wine and vinegar or sycamore and olive trees, where, okay, some people prefer this and some people prefer that. But here, since it's not fit for consumption purposes, because no one eats these garden seeds, and moreover, like we see when this gets planted, it's not fit for planting, so it has no utility whatsoever. Of course it's a mekech tais. The only thing you can use it is to burn it. And therefore, actually, says Rashbam, he doesn't have to give him even the value of firewood, because he didn't benefit from whatsoever. He actually didn't even use it for fuel. He actually used it to plant. Now, moreover, you don't say that Lekech would then be chayiv ba'achrayis, because he was what's called shalech bayad. When someone's a shomer, he's watching someone else's thing. He's not allowed to touch it. He's also like, okay, wait a second. So it's only good for fuel. Why you planted? You ruined it now. That's not true, because it's as if the seller told him, go ahead and plant it, because most definitely when someone buys garden seeds, the intention there is only for planting, and therefore, since this guy did do that and nothing happened from it, it's a mekach tois, because here in regarding to garden seed, he can't say, oh, I sold it to you for consumption, because nobody eats it. Therefore, that's the one opinion of the Mishnah, where regarding grain and even flaxseed, where at least some people eat it, therefore he could tell them, we don't go after rife, and I sold it to you for consumption, and the fact that you planted it, nothing happened, is not my fault. But by garden seed, there he would be chai b'achrayis, because there it's not fit for eating, and neither was it fit, as we see, for planting, and therefore he gets his money back. Now the Gemara says, Itmar, we learned this, following Machlegis Amiron, and since it's, we ask on this machlekes from our Mishnah, so therefore the Gemara quotes it over here. The Gemara says the following case. If someone sells an ox to his friend, turns out that it was already a goring type of an animal before it was sold. Hence, you can't use this animal. It's way too wild. The only utility it would have is to slaughter it. Well, it's dead. It's not going to cause any damages. Then you could eat its meat. Now, on that says Rav Amar, he says, Hariza Mekechtois. He says, so this is a mistaken acquisition. I want my money back. Why? It's like when someone says, I want to buy wine, and he gets vinegar. And therefore, he's going to get his money back because the majority of people, when they buy oxen, it's for plowing purposes. That's what you want an ox for, a very strong animal to plow. Here, since it turns out I can't plow with it, it's a mekechtois, I want my money back. Shmuel Amar, he says, no. Yochel loy mar loy. The seller could actually tell the consumer. And the reason for this is, as we mentioned before, Shmuel's opinion, because regarding monetary law, we don't go after the laws of majority, rather after a legitimate claim. So the seller could tell the consumer, L'shchit mechar tevlach. There's no mekechtois over here. I know it's a crazy wild animal you didn't know about before. It doesn't make a difference. I sold it to you for slaughtering purposes, because there are people that buy oxen for slaughtering to go ahead and sell the meat. And therefore, the majority that people buy it for plowing, that has no validity because we're talking about monetary law. So ultimately, you could still view it like as if it's 50-50. And therefore, I might say mechaver levaraya, since you already paid me, you want your money back, you would have to prove that in this case, it was not the fact that it was not being sold for consumption, it was being only sold for plowing, and then you'd be able to get your money back. Now, Rishbam points out that this does not contradict the halacha of sumchis in Perek Shorosh Nagach, where he says that whenever you have a mamon amut b'safek, money that's in doubt, like over here, we don't know what it was sold for, that you chulkan, you actually split it, not like over here that it's being said that actually the mecha gets to hold on to all the money, because although we hold like sumchis, as there's a stam mishnah over there like sumchis, but says Reshbam, that would only be like in the case of a shersh nagach hasapar, when the ox gored a cow, and they find a dead fetus by its side, and we don't know what actually happened. Did it give birth before the goring, and therefore the dead fetus was not caused by the ox that gored, or did it happen afterwards, and therefore the owner of the goring ox should be liable on the fetus too? Now, even if one of them makes what's called a tainus bari, a definite claim, and the other one makes a tainus shema, he says, I don't know, as Igmar says over there. For example, let's say there's a case that the Gemara brings in Yevamos, and you have a grandfather, and one of his sons passed away, and then there was a Yavam that then married that the widow. And there's a child that we don't know, is he a child from the first husband that passed away, which is what's called a Ben Tes, who was born 9 months from the first father. And therefore, in that situation, when the Yavam passes away, that actually then the grandfather inherits that Yavam, because this child is not a child of the Yavam, it's a child of the first husband. Or is he actually what's called a Ben Zayin La'achron, who's actually born after 7 months after the Yavam married his mother, and then he was born from him, and then he gets it. So regarding such a case, there the halacha is that we don't know what the situation was. But here we do know what the situation is. We say, Mamna Masafik is Chalkit. But here we know exactly what happened. We know that he sold him this ox unspecified. Now we just know that there was an additional fact that, it turns out, although no one had said this at the time of the sale, that this ox was a Nakhim. That's the Rashbam. Here Sumchas would agree that there you don't say the halacha of Mamna Masafik is going to be Chalkit. Rather, here you go after someone makes a legitimate claim. And the reason for that is because here the majority has no significance, and therefore the seller didn't have to specify. Rather, the consumer should have said that I'm buying it for ridya, I'm buying it for plowing. And the fact that he didn't say, he's going to lose out. And moreover, it's not comparable to a case when someone's buying wine, it turns out that it's vinegar, because over there he explicitly says, I want wine, and he doesn't get wine, he gets vinegar. Here he just said, I want an ox. So what type of ox? It's not clear. And therefore, moreover, as we said, it's different than the regular Mamun B'Safik is Chalkin, because then we don't know what happened. We don't know what happened, then we'll split. Here we know what happened. It's just, so what's the halacha? There says Rashbam, even Simchas would agree that if the seller has a legitimate claim and he's the Muchzik, so he gets to hold on to it, and therefore he does not have to compensate him. So that's the Machlik is Rav and Shmuel. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, how do we explain the case that they're discussing, this Machlik is Rav and Shmuel? And that is Velechzi. What do you mean? Let's see. What are we seeing? If this consumer is a guy who buys for meat for consumption, for example, he's a butcher. He doesn't use animals for farming purposes. So it would be obvious that it's for consumption purposes. And Ilarija, and if it's someone that usually buys for plowing, because he's a farmer, he's not a butcher, he's not a slaughterer, he's not a sheikhid, and when he usually buys oxen, it's always for plowing. Now, meaning, and that's what the Gemara's assumption is, that these people recognize each other, the seller and the buyer. So then most definitely there's Larija, that for sure he bought it for plowing purposes. And therefore, even according to Shmuel, in that situation, it should be a Mekech Tois, because since the seller and the buyer recognize each other, so it's like as if he specified, sell me an ox for plowing. You know, I'm a farmer, I'm Joe the farmer, what do you think I'm buying the ox for? And therefore, it would be similar to the case of the Mishnah when he sells him garden seed, which are not eaten, which we say that in all situations that he's going to be liable if it doesn't plant. Here also, obviously, if it's, let's say, where he bought it, he's a farmer, of course it's Larija, and if he's a butcher, so it's a butcher. So what's this machlik? Is Rav and Shmuel, it's a Mekech Tois, or he could say, no, I sold it for this. Let's see who the consumer is. So the Gemara answers, Begavra Dezavan Lahachi Ulahachi. It's not a Raya, because we're talking about a guy that's both a butcher and a farmer. So you can't tell from the guy himself. But then the Gemara asks, but generally, the price of an ox that could be used for plowing is much more expensive than that could be used only for slaughtering. Because for slaughtering, you don't have to have a quality worker type of ox. You just have to have meat. Well, that a lot of oxen have. But to be a good worker, that's something that's more difficult to get. And therefore, it's a higher price. So therefore, they ask the Gemara, but let's just see how much the payment was. If it's the amount that's usually goes for an ox that plows, it's obviously it's for plowing. If it's the price of that's usually for slaughtering, then it's obviously for slaughtering. And that is, since this guy that we're saying, yeah, he buys for both for butchering and for plowing. But so we can't go based on who the person is, but we should go after the money. And we should say what's called hadama maidim. The money will tell us that it, because an ox that, let's say, that's for plowing is usually goes for 20 dinar. For slaughtering, it's 10 dinar. So let's see. If he gives him the money that's usually for the amount of plowing, which is 20 dinar, so obviously that he bought it for plowing. And therefore, since now we turn out that it's a nakin, it's a mekech tais, it's a mistaken acquisition, like someone who's buying wine, it turns out it's vinegar. So then why did Shmuel say that he could tell him, oh, what do you mean, I sold it for slaughtering? Most definitely it was not for slaughtering, it's for the rigid, because that's how much he paid. And moreover, actually, says Rashbam, because even if you would say that he sold them for slaughtering, but since he paid him the amount of a plowing type of an ox, so then that itself would actually make it a mekech that would be batel. Because here that the oina is more than a sixth. It's double the price. And the reason is because it's not fit for plowing, because it turns out, as we found out later, that it was an akin. And if it's only worth 10 dinar, so that itself would actually make it an invalid acquisition. And if he gives him the price of an ox is usually for slaughtering, which is 10 dinar value, that's how much he pays him. So then for sure was l'nechsas, it was for slaughtering. And then the halacha that even if it's worth 10 dinar, like how much he gave, that Rav says the mekech tois, which the Gemara will explain shortly what is the mekech tois, he's getting the value of how much he's paying. It's l'tircha, it's for the effort, the exertion has to go through. And that the Gemara's question is, but why? Why is Rav saying it's a mekech tois? Let's say the damim, the money tells us, because that, in other words, that would tell us clearly that you obviously were not buying for plowing. Because even though the majority of people buy for plowing, you only pay the value of slaughtering. Obviously, you bought it for slaughtering. Now, as Rashbam explains, because even according to Rabban, that same Perka Meches Asvinam, as we learned of Ein Zayin Mabez, that Ein Adam Raya, they hold that money is actually no proof. That's only, he says, like, for example, when someone sells the tzemed, which is the yoke, and that, say the Rabban, although he paid so much money, it does not necessarily mean that he's selling the cattle with it too. Now, that's because, as the Gemara there says, that we're talking about a place where they call tzemet tzemet and bakar bakar. Now, there are those also who call bakar tzemet too. Some people call the cattle under the name of the yoke itself too. Now, since not everyone calls the cattle tzemet, so on that said Rabban, so you could say that this lekeach was from those who call bakar bakar, and therefore, the seller could tell him, I sold you only the yoke and not the bakar. And therefore, the halacha is a mitzvah mechaber olav araya, and it's under lekech to be a raya that he's from those who normally call bakar tzemet too. And if he doesn't bring a proof, so it's going to be his loss. Now, but over here, regarding this person that he buys for plowing and for slaughtering, says Rashbam, the Rabbanu would agree that the money would notify us. Although over there they say it's not, because if it was money, so what are we saying that if he's the person that calls the bakar tzemet or not, what do you mean? Just look at the money. Obviously, they don't go based on the money. And this is Rashbam. Over here, it's different. Because since we know by this lekeach that he normally buys also for plowing, and moreover, the damim amagdim, the look at the money, so therefore the money would be a proof. Because actually, we find the same logic in the Rabbanan there, the same thing too. Because there the Gemara says, what's the case talking about? The Gemara says that if they called Semet Semet, then we know what exactly was being sold. So the Gemara, no, rather that they call Bakar Semet too. So then obviously everything is being sold when you're selling in the Semet. Now, obviously we see that when all the people of the city call the cattle with the title of the Semet, of the yoke, even though that at times they call the Bakar itself too, we say that all of it was sold. Why? Because, meaning, because everyone calls Bakar. So what do you mean they call Bakar Tzemet? It's just because since we know by this Lekech that he usually calls the Bakar Tzemet like all the other people in the city. And moreover, the Damim Amidim that he's selling the Bakar with the Tzemet because he's charging such a high price. He's obviously not just selling the yoke, he's selling the cattle with it too. So therefore the Rabbanan say over there that the Damim is the Raya. That's what Rashbam explains. Therefore here also, since this person we know he buys for slaughtering, but he also buys for Ridya, for plowing. And the money tells us that he's buying for Ridya because he's paying the 20 dinarim. For sure, there we would say that even according to Rabbanan, the money would notify us that is obviously that a dam is a raya, that he's buying it for Ridya. So therefore, that's the Gemara's question. Let's just look at the money. And even Rabbanan agreed to that svar over here where he is such a person anyway. So let's say that the money would tell us that that's what he bought it for. So the Gemara, loy tzricha da'ayaka bisra. The case is talking about where the price of meat went up, meaning even for a case of slaughtering, v'kam b'dmei ridya, and it's worth the same amount of money for an ox that's bought for plowing, and therefore there is no more dam medim because they actually go for the same price. They both sell for 20, because although a good ox, a worker, goes for 20 dinarim, meat went up in price, and it also sells for 20 dinarim. And therefore you can't tell based on the person because he buys from both, and neither on the money because they're both the same price. So then the Gemara asks, if that's the case that Rabbi Shmuel is disagreeing about, so then Lamai Nafkimina. So what practical relevance do we have this Machlikas Rabbi Shmuel, since it's worth exactly what he gave? So what's the component that we're talking about over here? What's the Mekach Tois? You got your actual monetary value. So what would be the relevancy of their Machlikas to say whether he could get his money back, he can't? He anyways got what you paid for. The difference would be regarding the effort and the exertion that has to go in regarding now the resale of this ox that he bought, which since it turns out, meaning Rav was trying to explain for Lekech that he could get his money back because he does. I don't want an ox for the meat. I know it's the same price, I know I'm also a butcher, but I want an ox to plow with, and that's what I need. So now I'm going to have to go ahead and slaughter the animal and sell the meat. Therefore, Rav says it's a mekech tois that he could just give it back and get his money back, that he doesn't have to go through the effort of trying to get, yeah, it's the same value, but he doesn't want to have to get through the effort of selling it and then getting money to go ahead and buy now what he really wanted, which is an ox for plowing. Now, that the Gemara asks, hechi dami. So what's this case that we're explaining for Rav, that it's a mekech tois, which would make the seller liable to now give him his money back and take back that ox that's an akin, as we continue to advise. Because idaleka, if there is no money by the seller, lishtalumimine, that the consumer could go ahead and collect from the seller, why is Rav saying that it's a mekach toyis and that he should give the ox back to the seller? But the seller doesn't have any money to compensate him. The money that he already got from the consumer, he already spent it on something else. So then, what's Rav saying? It's a mekach toyis, that he's giving them the ox back, la'akiv tur bezuzeh. We said, anyways, it's worth the exact value of how much he paid. Let him hold on to the ox for the money that he owes him. Because the Amri Inshi, like people say, and the Gemara, Baba Kamen of Tesa Manaf, learns this, what the Gemara is going to quote from Psukim. Because actually, Rav Huna says over there, where it says regarding a mazik, a damager, says, Oikestavi shalom amitiv sedeyu. Either he has to pay him money or the best of his fields. Now, Rav Nachman asked Rav Huna, but the Pasuk says, Yashiv. Which the Gemara dashens is l'rabba shava kesef, that he doesn't have to give him only land or his money, he could give him anything that's worth money, anything. And that the Gemara answers, that hachmai skin, and what's this talking about when the seller doesn't have any money? He doesn't have any money, so yeah, he doesn't have money or land, then whatever he has can be used for payment. And that the Gemara there asks, well, if he doesn't have, it's obvious. Says the Gemara, no, we would have thought to say that the seller would have to go through the effort of taking whatever movable item he has and selling it and getting money and then paying back the damaged party, the victim. So that's what the Gemara says, though, that no, he doesn't have to do that. So that's what the Gemara is quoting now because of what people say, min mori rashvasech, from the person that you're trying to collect from, that's your debtor. So then pari, even the value of bran, ephra, you should collect from him. which is because anything that's worth money should be used to collect. And therefore the Gemara is asking, what's Rav saying, mekach tois, you want to get your money back, but if it doesn't have money, so then really he's the same like Shmuel. Just hold on to the ox, because anyway it's worth the same amount of money, and that is the payment of the money that he owes you with the value of that ox. So the Gemara says, you're right. No, loy tzricha, we're talking about a case where the ikka, where the seller does have money, lishtalume, that he could go ahead and that the lekeach could go ahead and collect, minei, from the seller. And that's where the machlekes was. At Rav Amar, he says, or is it mekech tois? It's a mistaken acquisition. Why is it a mekech tois? Because basar rubas linen. As we always find, we go after the laws of the majority. Veruba and the majority of oxen, l'ridyazavni, when they're being sold for plowing. That's what most people buy for. And therefore, it can't be used for plowing. I want my money back. Shmuel HaMalach, Shmuel will tell you, that's his machlekes. He says, no. When do we go after the laws of majority? That's by prohibitory law. For example, let's say if there's 9 stores that sell kosher meat and one sells non-kosher meat. Where the Gemara says elsewhere, that if you find it, so we don't know which store it came from, then you go after the laws of the majority. But Maimonides says Shmuel disagrees with Rav. He says, but by monetary law regarding commerce, then we don't go after the laws of majority. Rather, whoever is the muchzik, which in this case the seller is the one that's in possession of the money, if he has at least some valid claim, which he does, to say that I wasn't selling it for plowing, I was selling it for slaughtering, for meat, therefore he is believed, and therefore he doesn't have to compensate. It's not a mekech tais, and he could hold on to the money. That's the machlekes is Rav and Shmuel. The Gemara says, Simon and the Manik for the following questions and proofs regarding this machlekes Rav and Shmuel are Isha be'eved, a woman and a slave, Shar and ox, Shar and Paris, oxen and produce. So the Gemara says, Meisvei, the Gemara asks from a Mishnah Masechta Ksubas on the opinion of Rav, who he says that we do go after the laws of majority and it's going to be a mekach tois, not like Shmuel. The Mishnah says, Isha shenis almana oynis garsha, a woman that was either widowed or divorced, and she claims, where she wants to go ahead and collect the ksuba, but she doesn't have the document of the ksuba which would tell us if she was married as a besula or a bu'ula, which as we'll see has relevancy to how much she gets paid for her ksuba that she wants to collect from her husband or from his estate. She claims, but I lost my ksuba. Or like Rashbam says, that it's actually too many places where they don't write a ksuba. As the Gemara Ksuba says, some places that they didn't have that custom. So either way, she can't prove it in writing what she was. But v'hiya mer, she says, besula nasasi, that when he married me, I was a virgin, which that's the halacha of the Kanz Chacham, and she gets 200 zuz for her ksuba. V'huaymer, and he says, if he divorced or if he died, then it's his estate, his orphans that say, loy ke'ela almana nasasicha. No, it's not true. Rather, when I had married you, you were a widow, you were not a besula, and therefore you only get mana, 100, you don't get 200. So that's a dispute. Does she get 200 or 100? So says the Mishnah, Im yesh edim shayatze, if there are witnesses that when she went out from her father's house to get married to her husband's house, when she was going to the chuppah, if she went out behinuma, there are witnesses that say that she was wearing a veil. The reason why it's called hinuma is from the sherish of menamna, that's because where the bride actually dozes off because her eyes are covered with the veil, or vereisha perua, or that there are witnesses that say that her hair was uncovered in the streets when they were taking her to the chuppah, to the wedding canopy, which is the custom of what they do when she's a besula, a virgin. Then, since there are witnesses that they were the attributes of what happens to a besula when she got married, then her ksuba should get 200, even though there are witnesses that are not testifying regarding her virginity per se. They don't really know if when she got married she's a besula ba'ula, but since they know the characteristics, the features that are generally by the chuppah of a besula, that's enough for her to get a ksuba of 200. Says the Gemara, time of the ke'edim. Sounds like the reason is because there are witnesses, haleka edim loy, but it sounds like that if there were no witnesses, then she would not be able to get a ksuba of 200. Her ksuba would only be a mana. And the reason for that is because she's the one that's trying to collect from her husband or his estate. It's the onus of proof is on her. And since there's no witnesses and he claims 100, she claims 200, she could only collect 100. On that, the question is on Rab, but Vamai, why? Lema halach achar reva nashim. We should say, let's go after the laws of majority of women, which are v'raiv nashim, the majority of women in the world, when they get married, besulais nisais, most marriages are when the woman is a virgin. It's her first time. And therefore, the halacha should be that we should go after the majority and say she gets 200. Rather, it's obvious from the Mishnah that by monetary law, we don't go after the laws of majority, rather after whoever's the muchzik, whoever's the one in possession, which is like Shmuel. And therefore, since the husband's in possession of the money, she wants to take it away, he wins and she doesn't, which is like Shmuel, and therefore it's difficult like Rav. And because according to Rav, she should collect 200, not 100, even when there's no witnesses. So Amravini says, no, Shom de'ikal emeim, because since we could say that Rav Nashim Besulis Nisus, you're right, the majority of women get married as a Besula. And if it was just purely that, then you're right, like Rav says, she would get 200. But Amit Almanis, but the minority of women are widows. Now, therefore, this woman, we could say that she was from the minority. Why? As we'll shortly explain. Because since there was no word, there was no word coming out that she was a besula. Because v'chol hanisus besula yesh l'koil, every besula, when she gets married, the word goes out. They know that she's a besula hamuhulala. They know that she's a besula. Now, bezu hoil ve'ein l'koil. Now, since this, regarding this woman, there is no koil, meaning people don't know, and that's why there's a dispute between her and her husband, she is la rubas. So that creates a flaw in the majority. If she was really like the majority tells the Basula, then word would have gone out. But no one knows. No one knows. So it's not so clear anymore, that majority. It definitely sounds like it could be she was in the minority of Almana, and that's why the majority is not such a clear-cut majority, and therefore even there Rav would agree, like that Mishnah tells us, that she's not going to collect 200, only 100. Now, however, on this answer, the Gemara asks, Ikol hanisos besulos yesh l'koil. If it's like you're saying that every single woman that gets married as a besula, the word gets out there and everyone knows, so then ki'ekeidim, so I don't understand. How do you understand the Mishnah? Even if there are witnesses, like the Mishnah spoke about, that she went out with her hair uncovered or she was wearing a veil, mayhava, so then what does that help? Meaning the Mishnah said in such a case, oh, if there are witnesses, then she'll get to 200. Why? Since they themselves, as we said before, don't know if she was a basula or a mana, so it turns out that nobody here knows, there's no koil here that she's a basula, because even those witnesses, they don't know, they're just saying we testify that we saw this happen, that she was wearing a veil, but what does that help? Middeles la koil, to the contrary, for the fact that there is no word out there that she was a basula, sahadi shakri ninu, to the contrary, that should prove to us that these witnesses are liars, and they never saw her go out with a veil. Because if it was true, a veil is indicative that she was a basula. But it can't be that she's a basula. Because every single basula that goes out, the word gets out that she was a basula. But there is no word. So obviously it's like a non-sahad, like the whole world is screaming and saying she's not a basula. So it must be that these witnesses are lying. So then how actually does she collect 200 through these witnesses? So Al-Rav the Gemara amends and says, it's not that every basula that gets married has a koil. Rav hanisus besulis yesh l'koil. Majority of besulis, when they get married, the word gets out there that a besula got married, because there's a great joy when a woman for the first time gets married. So people say, wow, did you hear that this girl got married? So that's only, however, the majority of women. So therefore, it doesn't totally contradict these witnesses, and therefore they would be believed when they say, yetze behinuma. But bezu hoil ve'en l'koil, regarding this woman, that the word's not out there, the word's not out there in the street that she was a basula and she got married, she isla la ruba, so that therefore cuts down, it diminishes the majority of this halacha that most women that get married are basulas, because, yeah, although the majority that tells us that a woman that gets married was a basula, but there's a contradictory majority that says, yeah, but the majority of basulas have the word out about them. But here, there is no word about her that she was a basula. So that then diminishes that majority. So since you could say this way and you could say this way, so because you could say that she was a basula because the majority says that she was. But on the other hand, the majority tells us she was not a basula because there's a majority that if she was a basula, the word be out there, and there is no word out there. So therefore, they could like cancel each other out. And then we're just left with he says, she says, and therefore it's a mitzmecha v'levaraya, and therefore she cannot collect 200. If there's no witnesses, she only collects 100, and that would be valid even according to Rav, because it's not just that rave, there's a contradictory rave too. Let's says Tashma, let's bring a raya from the following brayso to Rav, like Rav. The brayso says, "Hamoicher ever lechaver." Someone sells a slave to his friend. V'dim tziganav. Turns out that actually, although the buyer didn't know about it, that this guy had been stealing. This slave is already a thief from before he had bought him. Or let's say kiyuvstus. Turns out he's actually a kidnapper. So on that says the brayso, "Higiyah," that this sale has been accepted by the consumer, and there's no mekach tois. He can't claim that, oh, I would never have bought I want a slave, but not a guy that's a kidnapper or a thief. No, and that's the price of no, it is a valid sale. But let's say it turns out that he was a listed mezuyan, an armed bandit, who he, not only does he steal, he murders, which ultimately is going to mean he's going to get shot one day, or actually the government has a price on his head that they want to kill him, that then the consumer could actually tell to the seller, behold, this is yours for you, where you sold me a dead man. This guy's going to be dead anytime soon. It's not something that I'm going to pay money for. Then that's a mekechtes, then he gets his money back. Says the Gemara, Reisha, the Halacha, the Reisha, as we continue at the top of Tzadik Gimel Min Aleph, my timer, what's the reason why we said in that case, when it turns out that he's a ganev or a kidnapper, that it's a valid sale and the consumer has already bought him, but there's no greater blemish than someone that's a thief or a kidnapper. And still, the Brisa says that Lekeach has acquired him, even though he never explicitly accepted that the slave that he's buying should have any blemishes. So says the Gemara, must be la mishum deruba, isn't it because the majority of slaves, hachi isnahu, the majority of slaves are thieves or kidnappers. And therefore it's with that intention that the consumer bought him, so it's like as if he explicitly accepted that he's going to be with that type of character. So obviously we see that even by monetary law, we go after the laws of majority, and that's difficult to Shmuel, because according to Shmuel, since we don't go after the majorities, according to Shmuel, you should view it like 50-50, if this is being sold as a thief or a kidnapper. So then the question is actually, why do we say that the consumer have to accept the sale? The consumer didn't know that he had this blemish. And generally, as the Gemara tells actually later on, the Tzadik Dalam and Al, such a svara, that when someone buys something, he buys with the intention of buying a valid slave. I paid a lot of money for him. As the Gemara says regarding produce, the same idea. And blemishes generally invalidate sales, where the buyer didn't know about it, so there's no greater blemish than turning out that the slave you bought is a thief or a kidnapper. So it must be because since the majority of them are that, so we go after Rav. So we see like Rav, not like Shmuel. So think about Allah, no raya to Rav and divak on Shmuel, because actually kulu hachi isnuhu. Actually, all slaves are thieves or kidnappers. In other words, it's as if the seller explicitly told the consumer, I want you to know, what I'm selling you is a thief or a kidnapper. And the reason is because the consumer knows that he's a ganav, and that's why it's a valid sale. Not because you go after the raif. If it was just raif, then actually the lekeach would be able to say that no, it's a mum, and it's a mekach tais, and it's not valid. But, however, here it is accepted because it's actually almost explicitly like he told him that, and therefore even Shmuel would agree to this halach. It's not difficult to him that he giyoy if the eved turns out to be a ganav or kyuvstus.